Disc 9.
I'd made no headway in thinking what to do when suddenly the door slid open, and with a surge of anxiety, I saw Hatsumomo there on her knees in the hallway. My only recourse, I decided, was to act bored, as though the company of no one but Nobu could possibly interest me. Perhaps this would have been enough to save me that night, but by good fortune, Nobu arrived a few minutes afterward in any case. Hatsumomo's lovely smile grew the moment Nobu entered the room until her lips were as rich and full as drops of blood beating at the edge of a wound. Nobu made himself comfortable at the table, and then at once, Hatsumomo suggested in an almost maternal way that I go and pour him sake. I went to settle myself near him and tried to show all the signs of a girl enchanted. Whenever he laughed, for example, I flicked my eyes toward him as though I couldn't resist. Hatsumomo was delighted and watched us so openly that she didn't even seem aware of all the men's eyes upon her, or more likely, she was simply accustomed to the attention. She was captivatingly beautiful that evening, as she always was. The young man at the end of the table did little more than smoke cigarettes and watch her. Even the chairman, who sat with his fingers draped gracefully around a sake cup, stole glimpses of her from time to time. I had to wonder if men were so blinded by beauty that they would feel privileged to live their lives with an actual demon, so long as it was a beautiful demon. I had a sudden image in my mind of the chairman stepping up into the formal entrance hall of our okia late one night to meet Hatsumomo, holding a fedora in his hand and smiling down at me as he began to unbutton his overcoat. I didn't think he'd ever really be so entranced by her beauty as to overlook the traces of cruelty that would show themselves. But one thing was certain. If Hatsumomo ever understood my feelings for him, she might very well try to seduce him, if for no other reason than to cause me pain. Suddenly, it seemed urgent to me that Hatsumomo leave the party. I knew she was there to observe the developing romance, as she put it, so I made up my mind to show her what she'd come to see. I began by touching my fingertips to my neck or my hairstyle every so often in order to seem worried about my appearance. When my fingers brushed one of my hair ornaments inadvertently, I came up with an idea. I waited until someone made a joke, and then, while laughing and adjusting my hair, I leaned toward Nobu. Adjusting my hair was a strange thing for me to do, I'll admit, since it was waxed into place and hardly needed attention. But my purpose was to dislodge one of my hair ornaments, a cascade of yellow and orange safflowers in silk, and let it fall into Nobu's lap. As it turned out, the wooden spine holding the ornament in my hair was embedded farther than I'd realized, but I managed to slip it out at last, and it bounced against Nobu's chest and fell onto the tatami between his crossed legs. Most everyone noticed, and no one seemed to know what to do. I planned to reach into his lap and reclaim it with girlish embarrassment, but I couldn't bring myself to reach between his legs. Nobu picked it up himself and turned it slowly by its spine. "Fetch the young maid who greeted me," he said. "Tell her I want the package I brought." I did as Nobu asked and returned to the room to find everyone waiting. He was still holding my hair ornament by the spine so that the flowers dangled down above the table and made no effort to take the package from me when I offered it to him.